Amen. Thank you for singing this morning. Memorial Day weekend, hard to believe. Hard to believe. I'd like to honor all of our veterans this morning. If you served in any branch of service, abroad or just here at home, any of the four main branches, if you were in any of those branches, we'd like for you to stand. We're going to recognize you. Would you please stand at this time? No one else. All right, Dave. Army. J.R. All right. Let's give these two a big hand. We appreciate your service. We appreciate your service. All right, Junior Church may be dismissed at this time. We're glad to have Terry and Teresa Nethers visiting with us this morning. This is Nancy's cousins, first cousins. And glad to have you both visiting with us this morning. Thank you for being here. All right. We have Dean and Orlita. Dean had emergency surgery and had emergency surgery on Thursday. Hernia surgery. Donnie and Kathy are out of town. Other people are traveling, but we're glad for you that are here. On this Memorial Day weekend, hard to believe that we're at the end of May, my thermostat sent me a message. It said, please make up your mind. Weather has been quite unusual. 92 last week, 93 one day, and this yesterday morning 47, and this morning 48. But we'll take what the Lord sends us. We had the first 2 weeks of May, we had 8 frosts. In the first 2 weeks of May, we had 8 frosts. Ground was white first 2 weeks. That's called global warming. All right. Would you turn in your Bible this morning to the book of Joshua, chapter 4. My message this morning is a biblical memorial. A biblical memorial. We're going to read the first 7 verses. We'll be looking at some other verses in Joshua chapter 4 on over in the chapter, but for now we'll just read the first 7 verses. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1 and reading. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man. And command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. Ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? That's what a memorial is for. What mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them, the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Let us have prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Memorial Day weekend, where we as a country pause to reflect upon all of those that have given so much to keep our country great and keep our country free. With all of America's troubles, we're still the greatest nation on all the earth. And we thank you for America. Thank you that we were privileged to be born in it and to be born again in it. And Lord, we thank you this morning that we're free, land of the liberty. Freedom does not come without a price. And we thank you today for all of our military personnel and all four of the branches who have served in the past, in the present, and will continue to serve into the future. We thank you for those that have defended this country and for what it stands for the multitudes and the multitudes that have given their lives, and those who returned alive but so maimed, arm, leg missing, many their mind is so distorted from wars and killing, bloodshed, they'll never live right. They did that for us. They did that because they loved this country. They gave their all so that we might enjoy liberty on this Sunday morning. Bless every military personnel today. Bless everyone out there. May they understand that even though a lot of this country may be anti, there are people in this country with deep appreciation for what their sacrifice has been and what they gave to keep us free. So bless today as we look at a biblical memorial, one you established in relationship to our Memorial Day weekend. Bless us now, we pray, in our time together. Holy Spirit of God, be our guide into the truth that we have today, and we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. The word memorial was never used in the Old Testament until God gave the ceremonial law. You find the word memorial many times in the book of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. But the word memorial was never used until God delivered his people out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, down into the wilderness to Mount Sinai. Then he taught them about a memorial. This shall be a memorial. I don't have the time this morning to go back. That's not my purpose this morning. But in the ceremonial law, which had to do with all the sacrifices, all the feast days, the priesthood, the tabernacle, which one day would become the temple, which all were pictures of the coming Christ that would come, that whole ceremonial system over and over and over. The Lord, through Moses, told them, this shall be a memorial. This shall be a memorial. So up until the time that God gave the law, there was no mention of a memorial. None. The second time the word memorial was used is what we read this morning. The first memorial had to do with their deliverance. Their deliverance. And how God had delivered them. And how the ceremonial law would picture that deliverance. And beautifully laid out, you see Christ in every aspect of the ceremonial law. What's the outcome? Liberty. Freedom. Liberty and freedom. Freedom from Egypt. Freedom from bondage. Freedom from captivity. Freedom to live free and to enjoy life without that bondage. That first generation that came out of Egypt observed the memorial throughout the 40 years that they wandered around in the wilderness, but they never made it to the second memorial. All of that generation except two, Joshua and Caleb, they all died in the wilderness. God brought them out of Egypt, but he couldn't get Egypt out of them. That happens a lot, many times. So this next generation of Israelites, the Jewish nation, are about to cross over the River Jordan into the land to which God promised Abraham two millenniums before. And now his descendants are about to enter in to this land called the land of milk and honey, the promised land. It's called the Holy Land. There's nothing holy about it. A land of bloodshed. Nothing holy about it. And now as they're about to cross over the River Jordan, the ceremonial law was symbolic. It would picture by memorial Christ. And we today, we have, and we'll celebrate next Sunday, we have the memorial called the communion, where we observe the Lord's Supper. We do it here every 3 months, four times a year. It's a memorial. It is an element of remembrance to bring back memory and to make clarification. Israel had some pretty dark days in its history. Some pretty dark days. Israel was not the bright nation that God wanted it to be. It had a lot of blight instead of light. But they were God's chosen nation. They were God's chosen people. And we're studying them on Wednesday nights as we study through the three chapters in Romans concerning the Jews. They were God's chosen people, but they were not perfect. And they had a lot of failure. And they had failure after being delivered. They would not go into the land that God wanted them to have. They wanted to go back to Egypt or die in the wilderness. God said, you can't go back into Egypt, but you can die in the wilderness. You know, people forget, how did I get out of there? How did I get out of there? You know this, you know, and I'll be careful with my terminology. Very careful. They really had to be stupid. That's about as careful as I can get. How'd they get out of Egypt? We'll just go back into Egypt. Well, would you clarify for me, how'd you get out of there? What's your plan of getting back in there? People, when they don't walk with God, have cloudy minds and cloudy hearts, and they don't think. They don't think. You couldn't get back into Egypt without my help. You didn't get out of there without my help. How are you going to get back in there without my help? And I'm not going to help you get back in there. But I will, if you want, let you die here where you're wandering around. And they did. All except two. They died in the wilderness. And now the second generation is ready to carry on the program of God in the nation of Israel. And they come to the River Jordan. I've been down there to it. I've stood on the banks of it. It's not a pretty river. It's a dirty river. It comes out of the Sea of Galilee, fresh water coming out of the Sea of Galilee, and it runs down the Jordan Valley. And out of the Jordan River, it dumps into the Dead Sea. From a mountain up in Mount Hermon to the north, fresh mountain water feeds that Sea of Galilee, then trickles down to the River Jordan, down the Jordan Valley, and dumps into deadness, the Dead Sea. Nothing is alive in the Dead Sea because it is salt water. So they cross over again. The only way they got there, God provided the way. God opened and made the river go back. Now the liberal theologians and the mockers and the scoffers said, well, they kind of waded across. It was only about this deep. It wasn't very deep. It says in my Bible, Jordan overfloweth his banks. That's what it said. Jordan overfloweth all his banks. Wasn't a shallow water. God waited until the time to where the water had overflowed. It was out of its banks. And yet the mockers, the scoffers, the liberals, and those that despise God, his works, and his program say they just waded across in shallow water, denying the great work of God. So God made it possible the second time. God will always make a way if you just wait. God will always make a way if you'll just wait. And we read here this morning the instructions. Moses has died because of disobedience in the wilderness. Joshua is the new leader. He takes the children of Israel across the River Jordan. May I clarify this again? There's a lot of songs and they sound pretty. They're just not theologically correct. A lot of songs about crossing Jordan, picturing going to heaven. They're pretty. They're just not theologically correct. Crossing the River Jordan is not a picture of going to heaven. When you cross the River Jordan in the Bible, you have to defeat the enemy. You have to conquer countries, seven of them in the south. You got to conquer the land. You're going to occupy the land. I get to heaven, the battle's all over. I ain't going to do any fighting up there. Crossing the River Jordan is not a picture of going to heaven. It's a picture of coming out of defeat in the wilderness into victory in the will of God, living where God wants and doing what God wants me to do. That's what it pictures. It pictures victory. Victory. So he told them, I want you to pick up a stone. You select 12 men out of the 12 tribes and have them pick a stone up. We're not talking about a little rock. They had to lay it upon their shoulder and carry it across with them. They took it over to Gilgal where they pitched that night. And they set up those 12 stones. Four. A memorial. These 12 stones were erected for a memorial. When you go, if you've ever been over on Interstate 79. It comes up through out of West Virginia up into Pennsylvania and so forth through Morgantown, West Virginia. You go over there, there's a rest stop. There's a memorial there to all veterans. It's a beautiful memorial at that rest stop. A lot of the rest stops got memorials. A lot. That memorial says this: all gave some gave all. All gave some gave all. Why did they do that? Because they love this country. And there's memorials all over this country. Memorials. Memorials that mark events. Memorials that mark personnel, people. Statues. Memorials. It's been declared, any nation that forgets its history has got no future. Churchill said, any nation that forgets its history has no future. You can't change your history. And every country, just like Israel, has got blights, blemishes. It's got history that's not pretty. It's got history that is somewhat agonizing to even read of what this country went through. But I want to tell you, my friends, today it's the greatest country it ever was for a handful of men, 25, 30, sat down and drew up how this country was supposed to run and be organized. There's been some altering here and there since that time of the signing and everything. 25, 30 men designed this country and how it was to function, and it has done that for the past almost 250 years. Something that no other country's ever done. And that's been done because the hand of God's been on this country, and our forefathers knew that. That's why they put on "In God We Trust." It's on our currency. Not trusting George, it's on there, but I'm trusting the God that allowed George to do what he did. "In God We Trust" is written in our capital on different places. "In God We Trust." That's faith. That's faith. And history is being forgotten in this country, and history is attempted to be altered and so forth. There's no future if you lose your history. There's no future. So God wanted the nation of Israel and generations to come. When the children ask, I wonder how many children on this national Memorial Day weekend, I wonder how many children sitting around a campfire, how many children sitting around eating marshmallows, hot dogs, and hamburgers, how many children will walk over and pull on Daddy's shirt and say, "Daddy, why are we having this weekend? What's this all about?" No, I doubt if they even eat a hot dog or hamburger. They're too busy. And most of them don't even care. You think of the lives, and Bert just said and mentioned about the end of World War II, all the different lives and the millions of people that served to deliver out of the tyranny of Germany. And I am a German descent. The tyranny of Germany to bring an end to a bloody and senseless war. All wars are senseless. senseless. What's it go back to? Cain and Abel. That's what it goes back to, Cain and Abel. That's all it is, Cain and Abel. Good and evil. It's been around us and been among us, and we've dwelt ever since creation. When man fell. On Thursday afternoon, Frosty and I drove over to the Dresden Cemetery where I had a committal. I didn't know the man, George Holmes. His daughter lives in San Antonio, Texas, and called me, left a message on the church answering machine back in February, I believe. I called her. She wanted me to have a committal for her dad. They had established May 27th is when they would all get together. There was 15 people there probably gathered around as I had the committal. But before, we had 5 minutes or so, I looked over that vast cemetery. I looked over that vast cemetery of Dresden. The widow, George's wife, was sitting in a wheelchair, very elderly and very weak. She said something. She said, "They're running out of room, aren't they?" I said, "Well, God never intended us to run out of room. God intended for us to live, but man chose death. Man chose death over life. And that was the ultimate end." And I said to her, I said, "There's plenty of land. Man will continue to die." And it's sad. But all of those stones was a memorial. Many of you sitting in here have got loved ones in there. Many of you that's sitting in here this morning have got loved ones that's in that cemetery. Memorial. I had a very busy week, not this past week, but the week before, extremely busy. Had a funeral down in West Virginia. I had to go give my final test at Marietta. I had to stay and grade that test that afternoon, get the grades in. Then I went back down again on Friday for the college banquet. And extremely busy week. And I, on my way, I had about an hour, hour and a half of time that I didn't have anything scheduled. I stopped to see my 3 elderly sisters. The one will be 90 in November. The other one will turn 87 in February, and the other one will turn 84. They're all not in the best of health. I stopped and see all 3 of them, spent time with them, shared my testimony, how I got saved. Witnessed, had a good time. Had about an hour and a half, so I drove out to the cemetery where my family was buried. I stood over the grave of my father, who one summer morning, July the 30th, 1965, left the barn where we were milking the cows and said, "It's time for me to go." He worked off the farm and drove a small dump truck for a small company in Waterford. Had about 8 trucks, and they did a lot of work. We didn't have blacktop roads back then. We were all gravel. You know, Muskingum County and Licking County hasn't caught up with the times yet, and Coshocton County. Some of the county roads still got gravel on them. But I grew up in that farm. He worked off the farm, and me and my sisters and my mother pretty well ran the farm. I remember him walking out the barn that morning and walked down and had his breakfast, got in his old 1951 Ford, drove to Waterford, servicing his truck, changed the oil, greased it, got ready for the day. About 5 minutes of nine on July the 30th, 1965, he just went over backwards. At the age of 60, I was 18. And I went to visit the grave of my dad that I did not know. You don't. You think you know it all when you're 18, so you don't want to know anybody. You don't want to know anybody because you already know it all. And you reap that ripe age of 18. I stood over his grave and I wept. And I said, I'd just love to reach down in there and pull you up out of there and wake you up. I want to talk to you. There's some things I want to talk to you about. Right next to him was my mother, and next to him was my brother. I stood there. I left there that day with such great emotions. I could hardly drive. But those were all memorials. All memorials. I walked over on the other side of the cemetery. There was my grandfather, his first wife. She died when she was 37. And I never met her. Second grandmother, I knew a little, barely remember those years, back in the early 50s. Visited the graves of my family, some of my friends. Every one of those graves brought back memories. As I looked down at the grave of my grandfather, I remember a tall, white-haired man, about 6'2", heavy man, a little short grandmother, about 5 foot. I remember them going out there on Thanksgiving. She always made mincemeat pie. I said that to some of my grandchildren one day. Have you ever had mincemeat pie? And they said, what's that? It was her favorite. She always made it at Thanksgiving. Memories. Memorials bring back memories. You know, there's people that will not go to a gravesite because they can't handle the memories. But they're still there. They're still there. And I know this is sensitive to a lot of people, including me. I got family that I never knew. Family I never met. It was grandpas and grandmas on the other side I never met. They were dead before I was born. And yet they're a part of me. Aunts and uncles that I never met. Those were all memorials. Memorials. And with those, each individual has memories. I sat at the banquet as I sat there waiting down at Marietta Bible College, and three or four students came in and sat down at the table with Ann and I. And one boy asked me, he said, what would you advise me? Brandon, Chief knows Brandon well. And he said, what would you advise me stepping out after graduation? I said, always be sensitive. Always be sensitive to the leading of the Lord. And learn. I said, experiences as the greatest teacher in life. Experiences. Sitting next to him was a little Filipino girl. And she quickly snapped. She said, not all experiences are nice. Not all experiences are pleasant. I said, true, but they teach you. They teach you. How do you deal with memorial? You think today of the wife that's got young children that has just been told that her husband lost his life and these senseless wars. The husband has lost his wife in these senseless wars. Go to Columbus, where we got war on the streets. Chicago, where we got war on the streets, where more people have died in Chicago and the major cities than any of the battles and the wars in the last 20 years. And talk to the mothers and the dads. We're one nation united under God and becoming one nation divided without God. We are to be all united, one nation under God, but we are all becoming divided without God. And it's sad. Memorials all over this country. Memorials marking historical events and marking great activities that has the history of this great country. And there are people that don't want to deal with our history, so we ignore it. We explain it away. How many of us would agree for our loved one's memorial to be removed? That you went over one day to visit your loved one and someone had removed the memorial. What would you say? We are living in the day of total ignorance and a lack of sensibility. We're living in a day today where we have a lack of gratitude, appreciation for what we are allowed to enjoy here in this great land of America. I've come up with a new word. I went out after dinner yesterday, turned on the television, wanted to check what the weather was going to do. It wouldn't come on. My iPad wouldn't come on. Telephone, you have to go outside if you want to talk to it. Yet you need it. Retardation. This technology is retarded. And it'll make you retarded. And yet our young people today are more interested in this retardation activity than they are in what this great country stands for. And a lot of it is the parents' fault. It says when your children ask, children have to be taught. When your children ask. He says that twice. If you look with me in Joshua 4, verse 19, Joshua 4, verse 19, and the people come up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, that's April the 10th, and encamped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask, that's the second time, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the waters. Something that happened, an event happened. And in this particular event, our God, who called our father Abraham and blessed us as a nation, our God did a great work for us. And this memorial stands for this great God and what he did on that day. These stones represent memory of an event that only our God could do. Not our fathers. Not our armies. But these stones represent a great event that only our God could do. Those were the stones' actuality. The ones in the ceremonial law were symbolically picturing Christ. Deliverance out of bondage and captivity. And now in the victory, we got a memorial. This is the day of our nation. This is the day our nation got the victory. Now let me give you three very simple purposes to have a memorial. God's biblical memorial. Let me give you three. Memorials have a purpose. Number one, representation. Representation. It says in verse 5 of chapter 4, Joshua said unto them, pass over the ark, before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of the tribes. Each stone represented. Memorial is for representation. Every one of those stones in the Dresden Cemetery represents a life. Go to Arlington over that mass grave site. Every one of those stones represents a life. All of the statues and all of the memorials around this country either look and represent an event or a person or some activity. They are there for a purpose. And number one purpose is it speaks of representation. To remove it takes away the purpose and you lose it once you remove it. Just like if you went over and took all the headstones off of the cemetery, who would know who was there? And when the children would come later in life looking for their loved one, where is my loved one? We don't know. Someone removed the memorial stone. Number one purpose, I want you to have a memorial. This was all directed by God. God was giving directions and instructions to Joshua, the new leader. And here's what I want you to do. As you cross this river Jordan, I want you, every man representing one of your tribes, to pick up one of these big stones, put it up on his shoulder, carry it over where you're going to spend the night and erect it for a memorial. Why is the memorial there? It's a representation. It's a representation. Number two, it is a remembrance. When your children ask their fathers in time to come, what mean ye by these stones? It's time to remind us of the great act of God. Anyone with any common sense that has not moved into the age of retardation. Anyone that's got a bit of common sense that can't say and see the hand of God on America. How this country was established with a handful of men and has continued longer than any other nation under liberty. Troubled? Yep. The old ship is troubled. We're still sailing high. And we're still free. We're still free, aren't we? Amen. I said, we're still free, aren't we? Amen. Free. The land of liberty. My country. If Bert wasn't going to sing that this morning, I was going to sing it when I come up. I had it all picked out. In a hymn book there, my country. This is my country, and to mess with my country is messing with me. Boy, when Merle Haggard wrote that song about the Okie from Muskogee, and all the terminology and all the truth that he brought out in that song, his popularity... You see, people just want what they like. They don't like the truth. And you can't rewrite it the way we want it. Memorials are put there for remembrance. It went down just like this. So that your children... See, you can't lose what God did here. You can't lose. And when the forefathers of this country met together and drafted how this country could survive and how this country could be born and go forth without the tyranny of England, and this country could be free and enjoy the freedom without the tyranny. And you have to be honest, it was a religious freedom that they were seeking. That's why the Constitution was drawn up. That's why it was written. And the first has to do with the liberty of religion, and the second has the liberty to protect, to arm myself, to protect myself, to protect my land, my person, my family. I have a right to protect myself. That's the second. The first was my religious liberty. The second was my personal liberty. And to mess with my country, it's a mess with me. Hey, I have been and lived in communist countries. I saw what it did. I went to my doctor on Thursday, supposed to go on Thursday. They changed it to Friday, and I'm glad they did, because Thursday was a very busy day. So I went Friday morning. They make my appointment, they say, what time you want? Early morning, afternoon? I said, early is earliest. So they opened the doors at 7:30, and that was the time of my appointment, 7:30. My doctor is a new doctor. Her dad started the clinic 40-some years ago, and now he is semi-retired, and my doctor's brother works there as a full-time medical personnel, and now she just graduated from Ohio State. She's got degrees to degrees. Pleasant young lady. Pleasant. Very personal. Very kind. And I told her, because she was discussing some of the situations about medications and some of the laws of the land and things that's happening in the medical field. She was discussing it and gave me an opportunity, an open door to say, I lived in communist lands and I see and experience firsthand what they do when they take away private hospitalization, private medical care, private medical facilities. You either come under the thumb or you get the foot. You hear what I said? You either come under the thumb or you get the foot. You either operate under us or you don't operate at all. And she said, she came over and sat right down beside me. Both masks on. You can't see people's faces. All you can see is their eyeballs. But her eyeballs were twinkling. And she said, you're not the only one that has this concern. Said, stay healthy and stay safe. You're in great shape. Keep doing what you're doing. And went out. We're being overtaken because there are madmen, people out there that want to destroy this great country. They want to destroy it. You know why? Because it's connected to God. You know why they want to destroy Israel? Because it's connected to God. Are they out there trying to destroy all these communist countries? No. They want to build them. They want them to flourish. Take away the memorials. Take away the memorials. Take away the memorials. Retardation. That's the mildest that I can get it. These memorials that God established was for a reminder for the next generations to come. What mean ye by these stones? What's this represent? What were they there for? Well, every time we come up to that river and we had to cross it to get victory, we could not cross that river without victory. And we're talking about 2 million people plus animals and so forth. And they said, our great God came down and he parted those rivers. You know where those stones came from? They came from down on the bottom of that river. That's where they came from. And they're right there to remind us of the great work that our God did in opening that up for us. And if you'll go over there in the tabernacle in the temple, there's a ceremonial law, and there is a memorial over there of the day that God delivered us, picturing the one that will come. Two memorials at the Red Sea, but not given to the ceremonial law, because deliverance from Egypt is salvation. Deliverance from the wilderness is to be delivered from self and consecrated unto God. And now we've got a nation that's ready to move on to victory. I want you to build a memorial for this day to remind you how you stay in victory. And we've got some memorials across this land. We've got some memorials that our history book tells us about. This is how you got to victory. Here's how you maintain victory. Here's how you keep victory. In God we trust. That's all you have to say. In God we trust. That's it. That little group of men did that because they knew how this country would exist. In God we trust. Can't change that. Third purpose, to end one era of time, to start the beginning of a new era. Every one of those grave sites ended an era of life and began a new era of life. For many in those cemeteries, it ended an era of physical life only to have the beginning of eternal life. Memorial is to mark an end and a beginning. All those statues of the ugly civil war that this country went through was a mark, a memorial to an end. When the Emancipation Proclamation was signed in Texas, it's over. People in this country that are called Americans, whether they're green, blue, purple, black, white, whatever, if they're in America, they are free. Free. That's what America's all about. Free. Being free. It marks the end of an era. It could be a life. It could be an event. Or whatever. And I'm out of time, and I'm not going to go down through a scenario of events. I'm just saying a memorial is to mark the end. And for this certain occasion, it was to mark the end of wilderness journey. And it was to begin a life of following God in God's will and live in victory. A memorial is the mark of an end, also the mark of a beginning. A cemetery marker shows the end of a life. At the same time, it shows the beginning of eternity. Eternity. And I hate to say it, but not all the people, and I didn't know a lot of the people, never knew the names. I never knew the name of Holmes until I heard it that day. But sad to say, not all those people ended that era of time and entered into eternal life. Many of them entered into eternal damnation. Why do we have memorials? So we have representation. Why do we have morals? So we have reminding, to remind us. And thirdly, to show an end, to have a new beginning. An end, to have a new beginning. Someday that'll happen to you, and that'll happen to me. Let's pray God for our children. It never happens to America. Because I want to tell you, if the end of America comes, there'll be no new beginning. If the end of this great country comes, there'll be no new beginning. Because, why? Because God is attempted to be removed. To be removed. Memorial Day weekend. If you see veterans today, if you buy them a meal, take them out and get them something to eat, put some money in their pocket, tell them thank you, whatever. It's hard to go out in society anymore without seeing somebody without a leg, without an arm. Sometimes their mind is not capable of living life because of the terrible wars that they experienced. Thank a vet. And pray for our veterans and pray for our military personnel that are still actively serving in different places around the world. 16 million, we heard this morning, end of World War II. There's always going to be wars because we got evil people in this world. We got Cains that want to kill Abels. And they want to kill America because they call us the big Satan. And Israel, the little Satan. And they want to wipe us off the face of the earth because Israel traces its connection back to God. And so does America trace its connections and beginning and blessings back to God. That's why destroy big Satan and little Satan and wipe them off the face of the earth. Long as there's been man, there's been wars. They're not pleasant. As long as there's been man, there's been memorials. Some pleasant, some not so pleasant. But they're needed for representation. They're needed for memory. And they're needed for marking an end to a new beginning. And I say, may this great land of America never experience the third. Because if there is an end, there will never be a beginning. Not of the America that you and I know and so greatly love. My country, 'tis of thee. If you have a need in your heart, Jesus Christ came to set us free liberally. He came to set us free from our sins. That's why he died. He was in your place, he was in my place on Calvary. He took our sins. He was in my place. I love freedom. Hey, I lived in the tyranny of communism. I lived in the tyranny of it. And in, you know where, do you know where the mafia rules best? Do you know where the most powerful mafias are? They're in communist countries. They work the black markets. I've lived there. Spent decades there. I know. I lived in it. And boy, when you see so much of it happening in your own blessed America, my country, 'tis of thee, it's alarming. It's alarming. So my friend, on this Memorial Day weekend, be thankful for America. Thank a vet. And do your part as an American to stand up for this great country. And if you're not a Christian today, just like America keeps you free, Jesus Christ can set you free. If you've never been born again, if you have not Christ in your heart by faith, you're not prepared for having a memorial erected for you. Because you'll have an end, but the new beginning will not be pretty. So come today, receive Christ as your Savior if you have not. I'll be up on the front pew as always. If you want to talk to me, I'm here. I don't mingle yet. I'm going to get back to mingling here pretty soon. But I haven't mingled yet, probably after the 4th. We had a great day planned for the 4th. We'll be talking more about it. It's on Sunday this year. We'll be talking more about that on the 4th. So if you have a need in your heart, just come, and I'll help you with the Bible. Okay? Be up here on the front pew. Glad to have Terry and Teresa. Yeah. This mine's old. You just have to understand. It don't function the way it used to. We're glad to have you. Thank you. We're honored to have you with us today. We really mean that. Thank you. All right. Shall we stand? We'll be dismissed in prayer by Frosty. Tonight, is there choir practice tonight? Is there choir practice tonight?
I'm sure there should be.
That's not what I ask.
I'm not the official, but I think we should.
Yeah, I see some heads shaking yes. So, all right, there will be choir practice at 5:30. Frosty will be here to direct it. His mouth just dropped open. Just joking. All right. Well, a beautiful song, choir, this morning. Beautiful song. And everybody singing together, My Country, 'Tis of Thee, was great. Great morning. Thank the Lord for America. Thank God. I was privileged to be born in it. Amen? Amen. Amen. If you have a need, come. I'll be up here on the front pew. And Frosty will dismiss us in prayer.